Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus, who is the Christ. Today's epistle lesson serves as our text, and I'd like to share once again the 8th verse, which says, "So do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord, or ashamed of me, his prisoner." This is our text. Fact is, do not be ashamed. You know, embarrassment comes in many forms. I read about a couple that was greeting newcomers at their church. And so they began exchanging pleasantries with the other couple, a couple that they had never seen before. Well, in the course of the conversation, they happened to describe the friendly neighborhood in which they lived. And then they listened sympathetically as the new couple lamented the fact that their neighborhood wasn't friendly at all. And so, saying their goodbyes, the two couples, they got in their cars and they drove home. And as the first couple approached their house, they were horrified to see that their newfound friends that they had just met in church were pulling into the driveway next to their own. Bragging about their friendly neighborhood to their next door neighbors whom they hadn't even met. Embarrassing. Let me ask you, do you get embarrassed? I mean, we could have fun this morning. We could go around asking each of us to tell the most embarrassing thing that's ever happened to us. But don't worry, we're not going to do that for a variety of reasons. But let me ask you a very personal question. Are you embarrassed about your faith? If tomorrow somebody at work asked you what you believe and why you believe it, would you fumble and mumble and hang your head in embarrassment? In our lesson today, an old man is sitting in a prison cell in Rome, and he's writing the last letter that he will ever write. He's writing to a young man who was very special to him, a young man whom he had nurtured in the Christian faith. And he's writing from his heart. And he's more plain-spoken than in earlier letters that he wrote to churches at Rome and Corinth and Philippi, etc. But this letter is to a personal friend, and time is running out. I mean, more than anything else, this older gentleman yearns to see his young protege, who's a pastor serving several hundreds of miles away in Ephesus. But that may not be possible. I mean, travel wasn't as easy in those days as it is today. But just in case they were not able to connect personally, the older man wants to offer his encouragement to his young friend in Christ while there's still time. And he wants to impart what is central to his own life and ministry. And so the first thing that Paul does in his letter to Timothy is to express his gratitude for the kind of person that Timothy is. He affirms him. He says, "I am grateful to God when I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day." You know, I think this is the kind of a letter that a parent might write to a son or a daughter who is away at college or serving in the military. "You know, I just want to say how proud I am of you." And I think that's how love always begins, with a word of encouragement, a word of appreciation, a word of recognition. And so Paul commends Timothy's sincere faith. And he tells him that he prays for him every day. You know, there was a special bond between Paul and Timothy. I mean, Paul knew Timothy's family. He was there at Timothy's ordination. They had traveled together. They had worked together. They had faced opposition together. And Paul knew what Timothy was made of. And so he salutes Timothy. And then he offers Timothy this counsel. And it's good counsel for all of us in our faith walk with the Lord. For he says, don't be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or about me, his prisoner. It's kind of an interesting phrase, isn't it? Don't be ashamed. I mean, why in this world would this young protege ever be ashamed of Christ or of his good friend Paul? Well, could be because Paul is writing this letter in jail. You know, what if you received a letter from your uncle and it was postmarked the state penitentiary? Might you not be a little bit embarrassed in his behalf? Oh, but maybe you're saying, oh, well, Paul, he was in jail for the right reason. He was in jail for teaching and preaching about Christ. And you know, that's easy for us to say. I mean, Christ has won out over his enemies. It's respectable today to be a Christian. But at the time that Paul was writing, Christianity was merely a tiny sect about whom many vicious rumors were beginning to spread. I mean, many people saw the early Christians as a threat to the religious and the political status quo. And so Christians were regarded as somewhat kooky, subversive, fanatical. And so St. Paul says to him, don't be embarrassed to call yourself a Christian. And maybe there's somebody in this room today who's embarrassed about being a follower of Christ. Maybe you'd prefer to keep your spiritual orientation a secret. Maybe at your work, maybe among your friends. Maybe you're afraid that somebody's going to think that you're a fanatic. And St. Paul is saying to you, let the world know where you stand and whom you follow. And then Paul states his own position. He writes, I am not ashamed, for I know the one in whom I have put my trust. And I'm sure that he is able to guard until that day what I have entrusted to him. Paul is not ashamed. He's not embarrassed. Why? Because he knows the one in whom he's put his trust. He knows that he's found his vocation, his sacred calling. And he knows that he has the inner witness of the Holy Spirit. First of all, Paul says he knows the one in whom he's put his trust. I mean, faith is no intellectual exercise with St. Paul. It's no empty ritual. I mean, he's been through a whole lot in his life. There have been beatings and shipwrecks and imprisonment. But each step, Christ has been with him. And he's grown stronger the more his faith has been tested. And he is a person of unusual courage and valor. And that's because each time that he has been tested, he has encountered Christ in that experience. And so his courage and his confidence have continued to grow. I mean, it's very difficult to change our basic personalities. But the truth is that the more Christ is alive in your life, the more he can give you the courage and the confidence that you need to do astounding things, like that faith the size of a mustard seed. You see, St. Paul knew in whom he trusted. And secondly, St. Paul had found his vocation. He writes, Hold to that standard of sound teaching that you have heard from me. St. Paul was a teacher of the faith. And that's why he wrote to Timothy so freely. He had played a part in Timothy's spiritual development. He was Timothy's mentor, and he had some pretty sound reasons for feeling good about their relationship. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, finding your vocation doesn't mean that you have to give your life full time in order to serve the Lord and to serve the church. The fact is that God has gifted each and every one of us in different ways. And there are many vocations. It's a question of using the talents and the skills and the abilities that have been given to us. I'm going to tell you about an article that was in Smithsonian Magazine about a guy who is an expert on skunks. Now, Jerry Dragoo was a professor of biology at the University of New Mexico, and he is an expert on that subject of skunks. He had even started a society called the Dragoo Institute for the Betterment of Skunks and Skunk Reputations. Well, unlike every other mammal, Jerry doesn't run in the opposite direction if an angry skunk lifts his tail at him. Because you see, Jerry Dragoo had no sense of smell. He didn't even know that skunks emitted an odor until he asked his college classmates why they were always shunning him. And that lack of the ability to smell made him fearless in his pursuit of skunks. You see, what some would view as a disability made him outstanding in his field. You and I, each of us has been gifted in different ways. God has given each of us a vocation. He's given each of us a calling. See, St. Paul, he knows the one in whom he believes, and he found his calling. And finally, St. Paul says that he has that inner testimony of the Holy Spirit. And so he writes, "Guard the good treasure entrusted to you with the help of the Holy Spirit living in us." You know, Paul knows that he's not alone. There's that inner witness that Christ promised to his disciples. I'd like to tell you about Cheryl Stevens, who was a young mother struggling with cancer, and yet she determined to continue ministering to others. I mean, Cheryl went home a number of years ago at the age of 44, but she lived out Philippians 1:21, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." And this was a poem that she wrote long before her bout with cancer. She says, "Remember me not for who I was, but for who Jesus was in me. Remember me not for the things that I've done, but for the things that Jesus did through me. Remember me not as one who loved, without remembering that he first loved me. Remember me not as one who gave, but one to whom much was given. Remember me not as one who spoke of God, but as one who knew God through his Son Jesus. Remember me not as one who prayed, but remember the one to whom I prayed. Remember me not as one who was strong, but as one who cried out to God to give me my strength, to be my strength. Remember me not as one who died, but as one who lives forever, because I have believed. Remember not my life and death, for they will profit you nothing. But please remember the life and death of Jesus, for he gave his life that we might live. He died that we might never have to, and rose again that we might have eternal life. Remember not me, but do remember Jesus. And so St. Paul says to Timothy and to us, don't be embarrassed. Have courage. Have confidence. Know the one in whom you believe. Amen.